Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
How's it going?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. That just reminded me we were going to come up with some other intros other than me going, how's it going?
Before we get into that, though, I have an important question that I need a truthful answer on for our listeners.
What is it? You I feel like I'm like
you
being
have
put
to,
on the spot.
You have to tell the truth. Do you understand?
Okay. Yes.
Did you spend any money at REI's Labor Day sale?
Well, that's an easy answer. No, I did not. And I thought you were going to ask me something else. I was like, how do you know where I'm spending money? Like, there is something I did last night that I felt a little bit guilty about.
Uh-oh, what is it?
Well, I can't talk about it on the show. Because it's a surprise for somebody else. Not you. I'll tell you offline. But it's something where I can't talk about it because it is there are people that listen to this show that are impacted by it.
It's
actually a nice
mom?
Thing. It's a gift. No, it's not for my mom. But it's funny that you went straight to my mom because you think she's the only one that listens that I know. No, I have other friends that listen. Anyways, no, that's a great question. Did you spend any money at the REI on Labor Day sale? No. Okay, I did not. And I want you to know something else. I saw the email with the subject line from REI trying to suck me in. And I just filed that. I archived that thing. I deleted it. You know, I didn't even read it. So I didn't even know what was happening at the sale this weekend. But I wasn't anywhere near it.
So I made some joke to you over text about it. And you were like, I did not buy any clothes at REI. And I'm like, wait a second.
That means the way she I bought said a, clothes.
She no,
bought
I didn't equipment buy anything. At REI.
No, I don't know why I said clothes. I think I just said clothes because we were talking about clothes specifically.
All right.
And
well
also,
done.
I'm proud I have not bought any clothes anywhere or at REI. Okay. So I'm excited for today's topic.
Me too.
This is one I've been wanting to do for a long time. We are going to talk about how you can learn anything and tons of things for $0, aka for free. Does that not excite you? Like, I get excited by things that I can do for free.
No, absolutely. I love learning stuff for free. I also find that I appreciate the challenge of fixing something specifically. So learning how to fix something myself gives me great satisfaction.
Oh, I feel you. Yeah. And that is one of the many things that we will talk about today when we talk about, you know, some of our favorite resources and ways that you can learn things for free. DIY is a big category of
So
that.
What would you say is the coolest thing you have ever taught yourself for free?
Huh.
Using one of these resources, which we will go into detail about.
This is a little thing, but it always sticks in my mind. And it's a little emotional. I might tear up telling you the story, Mike.
Okay.
How long do I have? 10 minutes?
How long
do I have for the story? Okay. I can do it in like 2 minutes. So years ago, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, I had my dad's old wheelbarrow. We had spent a lot of time like cleaning. He had a ton of tools. He taught me a lot of stuff growing up and was just super handy. Like he built like an addition on our house. He could do anything. He was like, Mr. Fix It, Mr. He'll figure it out. And he taught me a lot and he just taught me that mindset. I had his old wheelbarrow and I was doing a project with my husband, and we needed it for this project. We were doing like our fire pit in the backyard, not relevant to the story, but we needed the wheelbarrow and the tire was flat, but not just like flat. Like it actually, this is a really old fashioned wheelbarrow. I think some wheelbarrows are still made this way. There's not like a tube in the tire. The rubber is just kind of affixed to the metal and holds air. And so I was like, oh shit, like I gotta buy a new wheelbarrow. This is disappointing. And it was a little sentimental. So I was like, this is my dad's wheelbarrow and it's a otherwise functioning wheelbarrow. So it's kind of a bummer that I'm going to have to go buy a new wheelbarrow. But I went to YouTube and I looked at how to fix a wheelbarrow tire. And there was a very specific recommendation where you basically like jam a stick in the side of it. It took 20 seconds. It was so simple. And that's why it's just like a story that sticks out in my head, Mike, because it was such a simple concept. I never would have figured it out on my own. It was kind of kludgy the way they were even describing it. I was like, okay, I'm going to jam a stick in here and that's going to somehow create something to hold pressure or whatever. And then I used like a bike pump and it just, it all of a sudden something that just looked totally broken, needed the whole tire replaced, something was, you know, back in action 30 seconds later. And now I still have this wheelbarrow and it was my dad's wheelbarrow and my kids have used it. And, you know, it's just a wheelbarrow, but it's kind of sentimental to me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty brief. What about you?
I think learning how to frame and drywall a room would be the coolest thing I've taught myself.
Perhaps the room you're sitting in right now?
The room I'm sitting in. This used to be bare concrete walls, open ceiling joists, plumbing. It was just like, it was nothing. And framed it out, ran drywall, did everything.
Yeah. Well, and our listeners can't see it, but it's a legit looking room. Like it looks, it doesn't look like some sort of homemade, you know, room. It looks like a room built by a professional with, you know, properly smooth drywall and trim and finished edges and everything else. I mean, that wall looks a little crooked behind you. I'm just kidding. But no, yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm sure I'll think of some other skills that I'm very proud of later on in the show. I just thought of that question as we were getting started.
Yeah, no, I like it. I have another question where I'm going to put you on the spot later. That's going to be kind of fun.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
Like Mike's Minute on the Mic, that thing we used to do and then never do anymore.
Totally forgot about it. Yeah. Drop the ball there.
All right.
Okay. So let's jump in, Mike. What we're going to do is go through some of our favorite free resources that we use to learn new things. And then we'll talk through some reminders on kind of how you best leverage these resources. And I'm sure there are a ton of other resources that you guys have. So we'd love to hear from you. We always, you know, do a reminder at the end, but if you want to reach out to us and share some things that we perhaps didn't cover, some of your favorite stories, we always love to hear them.
All right. So for the first free resource, this one is my favorite. I think it's my go-to for 99% of the stuff I learn, and that's YouTube.
It's what we were just with both of our stories.
Yeah.
We used YouTube.
Yeah, we learned YouTube on all this stuff. And I think if you are not familiar with DIY stuff on YouTube, I think you will find it to be extremely well produced and informative and also like concise and easy to follow. This is by far the best resource for me and where I start on all of my learning activities.
I agree, Mike. And one of the things that I also find fascinating about YouTube, particularly in the DIY space of like fixing things around your house, is YouTube is full of some of the most like amazing and well-produced content. And you've got like really awesome high-end content, like money-related content, like Rich and Regular's Money on the Table series. You can learn about anything from money to like fixing stuff in your house. But you've got this massive spectrum of like the production quality, where the content's still super helpful regardless of the production quality. But you've got like Rich and Regular's Money on the Table that's like a high, you know, pretty high-end production that's like professionally produced. And then when I'm looking up stuff about like how to fix a faucet, it is like a plumber dude who probably doesn't know that much about the internet. And he's probably not even trying to like make money off of it, but he's just like posted a really helpful video about how to fix a faucet. And it's not super well produced. It's very just off the cuff, but it's super helpful. And I always find it interesting because particularly in the DIY space, some of the YouTube videos, I don't know if you've noticed, Mike, but are like very... there's not a lot of like fancy production going on with them.
Yeah. But what I will say is because it is so easy to produce content like that and put it online, you can find super specific stuff.
Yes.
So I have a lot of issues with like electronics, let's say, and I will go in and type in, you know, broken HP model XYZ 342 from 2009. And there's going to be like three videos for that specific thing, that specific issue. And it's, to your point, it's going to be just some guy with his cell phone talking about how he fixed it. But you can go find very specific answers to questions.
Yeah, I do the same thing on like the exact faucet that I've had a leak in. You can find a video on that Delta faucet. It's not just how to fix a generic faucet. So yeah, you're right about get really specific, which we'll talk more about in some of our tips. Okay, so YouTube, obviously one of the most amazing free resources. Our second one is books, and we'll get a little bit more specific on this in terms of where you can access books. But just to kind of hit the point about books, books are amazing. So you can learn, and I think like fiction books are amazing, but we'll kind of park that for a second. There's so many amazing nonfiction books, right? You're smiling. What are you laughing at?
No, I just like, people really come to our show to hear, you
like
know,
basics, like books,
advice,
you know,
like books are good.
Yeah. Like, do you know how amazing? I say that. You say that, Mike, and I agree with you on like, it sounds like such a simple concept. But do you know how often I've had multiple financial conversations with people that I've encountered personally in the past week or two? And they're kind of like overwhelmed by financial stuff. And I'm like, look, you can learn everything you need to know from one book, one good finance book. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, cool, which book? And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, now you put me on the spot that I got to pick one. But my point is, I think people often overlook, like, people who feel, and myself included, over the years, when I felt overwhelmed around what to do with my finances and where to begin, I was looking for a financial planner, and I read a ton of books and like was really into like a lot of self-help books and stuff like that, motivational books, but I never was like, oh, I should read a book about what to do, you mm-hmm. know, here. And so I say that as, and I think you're right, but at the same time, I think people forget how much they can learn from a book, from like gardening to self-improvement to financial topics, right? And mm-hmm. so two of our favorite book resources are the Libby app, which I don't probably talk enough about, but it is amazing. For years we were, between my husband and I, we were spending, you know, $30 a month on our Audible credits. And I love audiobooks. I listen to them all the time. But then I discovered Libby and I was like, wait a minute, I can get library books, audio library books for free. And so Libby is an app that is hooked up to your public library account, and you can borrow ebooks. So like basically a Kindle book, you can read it on your Kindle or through their own e-reader. You can download digital books through their Libby app. You can also get magazines, and you're getting them from your public library. So you have to hook up your public library account. So if you don't have one, you got to go to your public library and set up an account. Maybe you can do that online, or you have to go in person sometimes. And then there's this one quick sign up process where you basically link that account, and then you have access to your county's full library. Actually, if you have a rental property in other counties, Mike, you can also get a bigger library by like Cobb County and DeKalb County have different books available at different times, and they don't always have the same books. And so you can actually, I have like two accounts that I'm signed into on Libby, which is kind of nice. But it works just like Audible, except for you have to actually check out a book. So when I go in and put like some big book that's on the New York Times bestseller right now, I can't always get it tomorrow, right? I have to, sometimes there's a wait and I'm number 23 in line, but that flies by. And I always have a long list of things that are kind of in my hold list that I just say like, oh, cool. I don't need to read that book today. I can read it two months from now when my turn's ready. So you do sometimes have to be patient. But I mean, my husband and I save $300 a year by not having Audible, and it's amazing. And it's got amazing usability. Like the user experience of the Libby app is on par with Audible. And they've actually improved it a lot over the years. And so it's awesome. We quit it. We don't use it.
And it's not just Audible. So you can send all these books to Kindle, which is what Britt and I do quite regularly. So if you're paying $10 for a Kindle book, you should definitely go use the Libby app and get it for free. Yeah. And then on your point about waiting, if you know, you can have a wait list of like 15 books, I think is the max that the app allows.
So I frequently hit it.
Yeah, me too. So I constantly have new books showing up every few days, and I have a mix of audiobooks, which I use through the app, and Kindle books, which I send to my Kindle. But it's amazing.
Yeah. And when you get those, sometimes I'll get too many at once. Like all of a sudden I have like five books that show up and I'm like, oh, I can't deal with all these right now. You can hold them for later. You can kind of push them out for a week. It's got really, the usability is like, I'm constantly impressed by it. You can adjust the speed. You can make notes in it. If you check a book back in and you made a bunch of notes in it and you're now like, oh, all my notes are gone, like my bookmarks and stuff, when you check it out again, all your same bookmarks are saved. And so you can still kind of go back and reference a book in the future if you wanted to. You know, the other thing that I think about is like, I use Libby for everything. There is a parenting book that I really wanted to listen to. And I I needed to listen to it because I just wasn't getting through like the physical book, and it wasn't available in Libby, and it was like highly recommended. And so I went to Audible for it. Like, you can go buy a, I actually did a trial on Audible because it had been so long since I'd been on Audible. I was eligible to do a 1 month trial and I got it for free. But if I didn't, I was willing to just buy the credit and be like, cool, I'll just buy one credit and then cancel. And so you can always go back to Audible if there is some book that you really need that is not available. Because every now and then, I mean, Libby has 90% of what I want. Every now and then there is a book I want to read that is not in Libby. Most of the time I don't care enough and I'm like, oh, cool, I'll just read this book instead.
So moving on from our Libby love fest.
Uh-huh.
Also, the source of all these books, the public library. That is still a place and you can go to it.
Most of them are all reopened now. Most of them are all reopened. They were closed for a long time during COVID, but they're reopened.
Yeah.
They're kind of lonely. My husband went in the other day and was like, they're not nearly as crowded as they used to be.
Were they that crowded?
They were. In our area, it was always pretty popular.
I'm just kidding.
But apparently they're pretty empty these days. So also public libraries have stuff like puzzles. You can check out DVDs. I don't even have a DVD player, but if you did, you could check them out. They have like tickets to local attractions even that you can get at your public library.
But this is an episode about learning stuff, not about getting free free stuff from the public library.
Okay, what's our next one?
Podcasts. So you're already listening one right now. Thank you.
So you clearly know what a podcast is. That's good.
And the great thing about podcasts is that, like books, like YouTube, there are creators out there who have a specific style, who have a specific relevance to your life, who can come out with messages that are exactly what you need to hear or what you need to learn. And so, you know, we would encourage you, thank you very much for listening to this podcast, but there are so many great podcasts out there, and you might hear some of the stuff and say, like, Mike and Maggie, like, they don't really understand this aspect of my life. It is not relevant. We're in a different country, different part of the country. We have different family types. You can go find somebody who's podcasting right now who shares that lifestyle with you and going to have a very catered message.
Yeah. The volume and the specificity of podcasts out there is quite impressive. Hey, Mike, what's your go-to podcast app? Like, what do you listen to them on?
Apple.
Oh, you're like very native. It's kind of old school almost.
I wouldn't even know how to use the other ones.
I've been using Overcast, which is a free app for listening to podcasts, for so long. I just love it. It's just got a lot of like kind of, I'm almost just used to it now. Not that the podcast app is bad. Also, if you're in the podcast app listening to this, feel free to go leave us a review. We always love those.
Nice.
And you can only leave those in the Apple app. You can't leave those in other apps. So
yeah. Reviews really help us.
The point of this is not to talk about the public library and how we would like some podcast reviews.
All right. Next up.
Next one is Instagram. So Instagram, believe it or not, and Facebook also, so I don't mean to leave out the other social channels, but we'll use Instagram as an example, is full of really great content. Again, you got to, like, similar to kind of podcasts, you got to go find the topics and the content creators that are relevant to what you want to learn about. But like, I follow Epic Gardening, which is a account I love. Go Clean Co. is a cleaning account that I'm obsessed with, and a lot of people are. They got a lot of extra followers during quarantine. And all of these accounts, in addition to like following them and kind of seeing what live stuff they post, they all bookmark their best stories in a very organized way up at the top of their accounts. If you go to their profile page in Instagram, they'll have their like saved stories. So Go Clean Go, for example, they've got all these groupings up at the top. I mean, there's like 30 or 40 of them. They have a lot. They have oven clean, floors, windows, disinfecting, how to clean your Vitamix, how to clean your car, how to strip sheets. So they've kind of like pre-logged and saved the best of for you. And a lot of like top content creators do this, ourselves included. And so you can go and you can kind of get a quick glimpse of like the best of from these creators. And they're essentially offering you really good free content. And so again, when I want to remember how to go strip sheets, which is a process of cleaning your sheet, like a really deep clean to get sheets that are kind of dingy, like white again. There's a story in Go Clean Go's account, and I always go to it, and it reteaches me like what the ingredients are and how to move forward on it.
All right, next up would be blogs. So similar to what we talked about on podcasts, there are going to be a million creators out there who are writing content to help you. And most of them are going to be doing this as a passion. And so this is different than just Googling something and looking for a website that has information, because a lot of those are going to be sponsored by companies that have an economic interest in whatever information is being delivered to you. But if you just find a blog that you like, who is written by, you know, a couple who have a family similar to yours and a lifestyle similar to yours, it's going to be relevant and in most cases truthful, because they don't have an economic interest, or at least a strong economic interest, in selling you something that wouldn't be to your benefit. And then also, like Instagram and like podcasts, you know, you find people that you like, hopefully like me and Maggie, and, you know, you come to build trust and appreciate their insight and inspiration, perhaps.
Yeah. Blogs are a great one. And I think just to double click on one thing you said, Mike, you know, when you do go to Google and search for different blogs that you might, you know, topics that you might want to learn more about and blogs you might want to read, remember, like, almost skip past the sponsored listings at the top, right? Focus on the what's called natural search results below that, because for them to even get on like the first page of rankings means they have a lot of clout. They've got a lot of visits, like they're a trusted source at that point. Looking at those natural search results of whatever you're searching on is where you can find some of the coolest blogs. Okay, one of my favorite ones. Do you spend a lot of time on Pinterest, Mike?
I don't think I've ever been on Pinterest.
I think your wife does, just because I know she's pretty crafty. And Pinterest, I do think, I don't want to make a stereotype, but I'm pretty sure just based on what I see in Pinterest, it leans way more heavily female than male. But again, I'm making a generalization, just my gut. I especially love Pinterest for recipes. Like, do you own a lot of cookbooks? I don't think you do.
I mean, we have a handful that I think we've kind of collected or been given, and it's something we've never really decluttered. We don't use them that often.
Yeah. I own a lot of cookbooks, which is shocking because I rarely ever open them. But like, I remember when I first went vegan, we would buy and people would give us. And so I own like probably like 20 or more vegan cookbooks.
I don't have 20. I have like 5, but I did the same thing.
Yeah, I have a lot between my own purchases. Again, I really have been like gifted a lot. But even having all those cookbooks, I've perused them. I think I could count on this one hand, which only has 5 fingers on it, how many times I've actually used a recipe from a physical cookbook that I own. 99% of the recipes that I cook in the past 5 years have all come from Pinterest. And I actually do have like saved groups of like all my vegan recipes that I save. It's super easy. It's just amazing for recipes. And so my cookbooks are like on display on a shelf. They don't actually get used, and I probably could declutter them, to your point, Mike. But it's just so much easier and faster. And you can go into Pinterest. I do this all the time. I'll go in and I'll be like, I have these 2 random ingredients that I need. Like, I need to get rid of broccoli and something else in my fridge that's going bad soon. And I'll type in like broccoli and tempeh and vegan recipe. And then like tons of stuff will come up that's like using those 4 ingredients. So it can just be really helpful. And and Pinterest is nice because it's super visual, which I know you're not on it, but it's when you search that, you then see like amazing pictures of things and you can just kind of like pick what looks good and then, you know, dig around a little more. But I'm a big fan of Pinterest.
I can tell. All right. And lastly, and I say this with a tiny bit of caution, WebMD and other trusted medical sites.
Yeah.
You can certainly learn a lot. I would caution people not to self-diagnose themselves, but I do think it's important to understand what's going on with your body, and have a reasonable idea of what's wrong, or at least what you might want to ask your doctor about. Going on WebMD, you know, telling yourself that you have cancer and then going and trying to develop your own medicinal routine, probably not the best path for you, but you can certainly learn a lot that can help you make better decisions once you talk to a professional.
I diagnose myself online all the time, good and bad, accurate and inaccurate, but it's you can learn a lot through it for sure. Those are some of our favorite resources of where we have learned amazing things for free. We want to talk about just a few kind of reminders and just things to keep in mind as you are leveraging these resources. And the first one, Mike, which this is the one I was teasing earlier where I want to do a quick activity with you. The first one is just to remember that Google is your best friend. So all of the things that we just talked about, you don't even need to think like, well, is Pinterest where I should go if I'm looking for a recipe, or should I do this? Just start with Google. And also remember that there's Google Incognito. Sometimes you can, if you're just searching something a little more personal or private and you don't want it in your browser history, go to Google Incognito. I was in prep for this story, for this show, Mike, a couple of weeks ago. I was putting in...
How to find a better co-host?
Nah, that's funny though. I was putting in... we're going to go on a little bit of a tangent. This is going to be fun. I was typing in how to something. And I can't even... I don't remember what I was looking for. But when you know about Google suggested text, right? Mm-hmm. So when you start to type something into Google... It will, when you're on your mobile or when you're on like a laptop or a computer, it will start to suggest things to you below that. It will either show you things that you've searched in the past, like, and it'll sometimes have a different icon next to those things. But it will also, it'll just suggest things. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever had like had experiences, Mike, where you were like talking about something with your wife. And then like the next day you saw an Instagram ad or you saw some sort of ad.
All the time.
Yes. And you're always like, who is listening to me? What's going on? This Alexa in my house, my Google thing, like whatever. And there's all sorts of, I mean, they're listening, not like someone sitting there at NSA listening to you, but they are capturing words and phrases and they are often targeting advertising based on it. I don't know all the like ins and outs of the privacy angles, but there are things and I'm not going crazy here. So here's what's interesting is, I searched how to, and all these suggested things were coming up that were related to recent private conversations I had had with my husband and or with you actually. One of them was how to prepare or how to save on utilities was one, which was, it was right after you and I had had the conversation about why my power bill was so high.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've not had this conversation with anybody but Mike and Greg. I've not searched anything on it. Another one was how to get rid of gnats, which was a discussion that I was having with my husband about something. And it was just crazy, these things that were coming up. And then also what was really weird, and I'm not joking, at the bottom, that these were not my top ones. One was how to optimize Etsy listings, which I had talked about with you a little bit. Also weird. So not weird because they're like real conversations we had had. And then the two bottom ones, I'm not even making fun of this, but was like, one was how to deal with controlling people. Some people might argue I'm controlling. And then the last one was how to punish a woman emotionally. And I was like, who was searching on, like, I don't know why I'm getting targeted for this one. It was very weird. So here's what I want you to do real quick, Mike.
Okay.
Pull your phone up, go to Google or your computer, type how to, and then read me some of your suggestions.
Okay. How to screenshot on Mac.
Okay.
Oh, how to get rid of gnats? That's also on mine. How to get rid of fruit flies?
Yeah, also
maybe it's
on
just
mine.
Like everybody's searching for it.
Maybe.
How to make French toast? Wasn't thinking about French toast, but I am now. How to delete Instagram? Seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
How to tie a tie? Haven't Googled that one in about 20 years.
That's not well targeted because nobody wants to know how to tie a tie right now.
Yeah.
Maybe they meant how to put on sweatpants.
Yeah.
Our point here is Google is your friend. Start with Google. It's a great place to start for whatever you might be looking for. And it will route you to like Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, whatever it might be, a great blog. And it will give you all of those suggestions. Google Images can be helpful. Don't forget you have Google Incognito when you want a little bit of extra privacy of it not being like saved in your browser history. And start with that.
Next up, remember that on many of these quote-unquote free resources, you're actually paying for it in some way. So either you are sitting there with your time and you're listening to advertisers who are paying for the content. It could be the public library, which your tax dollars are funding. But either way, there's so much free content out there. Somebody is paying for it, and by extension, you are sometimes paying for it, you know, more directly than others sometimes. But don't feel bad about consuming free resources when it's available.
Mike, all of these content creators are making a lot of money from the videos in their, from the ads in their YouTube videos and from the ads on their blog. So you're right. You're getting good content. And the, I think what I would sometimes worry about is like, is that content creator getting compensated in some way? And like, yeah, they are. They're your eyeballs on their content through the ads that are in front of you are having them often make a very good living from this.
Yeah. So word of warning, if they are making too much money on this, there is a chance that the information you're learning has some other economic interest in it.
Yeah, it's biased. So
Yeah. You need to just be careful about the bias. Now, if you're just wanting to find out like how to mud dry, you know, drywall, then it's probably, you don't have to be worried about it too much.
Yeah. But always have your, like, we've talked about this before on a lot of things, but like always have your, you know, common sense sensors on of, you know, if some faucet person is like recommending you have to buy some specific product and, you know, it seems biased, like find another video because there's plenty that are very kind of non-biased and genuine in their recommendations. I also like to support some of these content creators when they do have products for sale. So like Go Clean Co., which is Co. for company, has a cleaning workbook that they sell. And I could dig around and find all of their kind of like cleaning recipes on Instagram, but it was like a $10 workbook. And I like to support them because I think they put out really great content. So as much as we encourage that there's a lot of things you can get out there for free, also, if you can afford to, like, support some of the content creators that you really like and enjoy and get a lot of value from.
The next thing, and this is really important, this is kind of like a key principle in my life, is that you should try to teach yourself to do something first. So if your faucet breaks, if your stereo stops working, if you need to do some drywall, try learning it yourself. I think you're going to find it to be a lot easier than you think. You can always hire a professional, but you may actually really enjoy the process of learning and then doing something new. So your first stop should always be one of these tactics that we recommended to try to teach it to yourself.
I've talked about this with roofing before, Mike. Like, I've had issues where I had squirrels eating the pipe, what's called the pipe boots, the lead pipe boots on my roof. Mm-hmm. And I looked up a video and I thought, oh, I'm never going to get on my roof and fix it. And I looked up a video and I was like, oh, it's super easy. You like buy this $20 product from Home Depot. You like put it over the pipe boot and you like put a little bit of, you know, kind of caulk tar around it. And it's, you know, pretty easy to fix yourself and literally can save you, you know, in the high hundreds or low thousands of dollars from doing it yourself. And you know, another thing, Mike, that I've had success with is in your local community on different Facebook groups, et cetera, you, depending on what it is, you could consider reaching out to a real person that might be able to help you with something. So if it's a more complicated hands-on task and you really do want to learn how to do it, there could be someone that wants to help. So I had some issues with my garden last year. I've had more issues than wins with my garden. But I was just having like a ridiculous amount of bugs and all this stuff. And I posted something on my neighborhood group and I was like, hey, is there anyone that knows a lot about this that would just come and like talk to me for a few minutes? Because I need you to visually lay eyes on this problem. And this really nice woman who was like a master gardener and like a professional horticulturist and just a really nice lady who was retired and had a lot of free time came over and talked to us for like 45 minutes one day. And I met a new neighbor and I learned a ton of things. And so there's just, you know, there's the creative ways you can leverage your community to learn new things also in a more hands-on way.
And if anybody needs help with drywall, patching a hole in their wall, I will come over and do it and teach you because I love this stuff.
Exactly. And that's the thing, Mike, is there are people like you in everyone's neighborhood that genuinely would find it enjoyable in the same way that like my dad enjoyed teaching me things, right? And so lots you can learn from many different angles.
And lastly, remember to be safe and don't get in over your head. So if you're doing electrical work and you're not super confident with it, if you are getting on your roof and it's really high, if you're getting underneath a car that's been lifted up or dealing with poisonous or toxic substances, be extremely careful and maybe at that point decide to hire a professional. A lot of the stuff that you're going to be dealing with in your home isn't that dangerous, but if you're not confident with it, if you're unsure about it, or if you're reading online that other people hire professionals, you should just go ahead and do that. And you should not risk falling off your roof and dying to save $1,000. That's not worth it.
Yeah, I agree. Though I like to get on my roof all the time.
But you have a ranch house, so it's not that tall.
You're right. I would not get on your roof. It's steeper and taller than mine.
I've had somebody raise their concerns to me about you getting on your roof.
Who?
Somebody at work who was very concerned that...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, I had to explain to her that it wasn't that high.
It was a shorter roof. Yeah. Right. It's.
But
it's,
I mean, you could still break it. It's like enjoyable.
My kids hang out on this other piece of my roof. Well, I shouldn't even say that. Never mind.
Yeah. Going to get social services over to your house. I know. All right. Before we get ourselves into trouble, let's do our top three takeaways.
Okay. Number one, you can learn just about anything for free and from a legitimate expert or professional.
Number two, it's satisfying to learn new things and figuring out how to do it yourself. It keeps your brain sharp.
Yeah, it's fun. Okay. Number three, always start with exploring the free resources first before you immediately assume that you have to buy something or that you have to hire someone. Libby before Audible is a perfect example. The public library before Amazon is another one. YouTube before you hire someone is another one.
All right. Well, this is fun. I enjoyed this one.
Yeah, it's fun. It inspires me to think about other things I need to learn lately.
So thanks everybody for listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode.
And if you have any thoughts or questions, as always, we would love to hear from you. And you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370, or you can hit us up on Instagram. And if you have other ideas for cool things or just fun stories of how you've learned something for free, definitely share them with us.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, I'm going to go get up on my roof.
Be careful.